Peggy Lean Bartels had settled into her life. She'd been in America for more than 30 years. She had built a life here, with a great job at Ghana's embassy in Washington, friends, a sense of purpose. But she had no idea destiny would intervene and make her one of the most unlikely leaders in West Africa.
If somebody had told me that one day I'll be a king, I'll tell the person that you are crazy.
But that's exactly what happened to Bartels, and life hasn't been the same since. We went to visit King Peggy, as she's known, at her home just outside Washington, D.C., in Silver Spring, Maryland.
It's Rachel Martin with NPR.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Nice to meet you.
Nice to see you, too.
It's a modest one-bedroom condo with floral carpet, ornate furniture, and West African art. Pictures of her coronation hang on the wall. In them, Peggy is dressed in the colorful robes of a king, and of course, a crown. And along with the special clothes comes a special name.
What do I call you? Peggy?
Nana?
Nana. Nana's okay?
Yes,
okay.
Nana is okay.
Nana is the title given to elders in her native Ghana. The first time someone called her that was 4 years ago. She was woken up at 4 a.m. with a phone call, one of her cousins back home.
He said, Nana. I said, Nana, what are you talking about? You know, I'm not a king, I'm not a queen. So I thought he was trying to call me or something. So I said, listen, it's 4 o'clock in the morning in the United States. What do you want? So he said, your uncle went to the village.
He's gone to village.
Yes, and he's not coming back anytime soon.
Going to village is what people in Peggy's hometown say when someone has died. The cousin went on. He told Peggy that village elders had carried out a sacred ritual to choose a successor for her uncle, the king. And they had chosen Peggy.
I said, a king? A woman king? Are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm not kidding you. And in Ghana, it's very rare because at the moment, we only have 3 women king and I'm the 3rd one.
In the whole country?
In the whole country. And then I said, why in the world would they take a woman far away, so many thousands of miles away, that I'm not going to be there full time right now? Why me?
What convinced you in the end?
I kept on hearing voices, and the voices just say, Nana. That voice called me, Nana. It's your destiny. Go for it. At first I said, is it because I'm tired? I haven't been sleeping? What is this, you know?
Peggy agreed to become king. How could she not? But it hasn't been easy. She remembers her first trip back to Ghana when she met with a group of male elders. One of the men stood up and said,
shut up. You are a woman, and you have to do what we have to tell you.
This was the first big meeting that you had with
the first
the tribal
meeting.
Elders.
That's when I stood up, and I sat down, and I said, oh, so you people wake me at 4 o'clock in the morning, thinking that I'm a woman, that you're going to really intimidate, and I'm far away, and then you are going to rule me, and then have me there as a public figure. I said, not me. I want to tell you all that I'm serious. Don't look at me as a woman. I'm a man. So if you really understand me as a man, and then we can go on well. But if you think I'm a woman, we're not going to work.
You ended up, and you are currently, fighting a lot of corruption.
Yes.
When did that first become apparent to you, that this was a problem in your village?
The first time that they were installing me.
Like a coronation.
Yes, a coronation. Yes, Americans, you know, and the Europeans call it coronation, but we call it installment. The time came for me to be installed, and then I said, who is going to buy the drinks? You know, be responsible for the other stuff? Then I asked the treasurer, and she said, we don't have money, and shrugged his shoulders. Then I said, hey, wait a minute. We have a beach, we have a land there that we have fishermen that they always give us money, like a land fees and fishermen fees.
Like taxes.
Yes, you know. And I said, what happened to it? They said, we don't know. They kept on shrugging their shoulders. And then this one would be fingering at this one, point fingers at this one. I said, wow, I'm in trouble, but I'll fix it.
So far, she has helped bring clean water to the village, renovated the king's palace, opened the village's first bank, and she's recruited a church in Washington, D.C. to help sponsor more projects, like a secondary school. It's work that has given Peggy a new kind of satisfaction, a new kind of purpose.
How has it changed how you walk through life when you're in America, when you're in Washington, D.C.? I mean, you're a king.
I know. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, I don't let it get to me. I always want to be humble.
Is it hard?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes I'll be in the shop and somebody will say, hey! And I say, if it was before, I will yell back. But this, I say, hey.
You've learned patience.
Yes. But before, if you say something, maybe you just say it without knowing what you were saying, oh, Peglin will really chew you. But now it's not like that anymore.
Is there a part of you these days that ever just wakes up and you just think, oh, I just want to go back to when I was just Peggy, working at the embassy, living my life?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. I love every bit of what I'm doing. So I don't reflect on the 4 a.m. call at all. All that I really care about is to move forward with them.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
You are quite welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Peggy Lean Bartel's new book is called King Peggy, An American Secretary, Her Royal Destiny, and the Inspiring Story of How She Changed an African Village. And you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.